Good morning and welcome to another edition of Pulse of the Region, brought to you by the Metro Hartford Alliance. The Alliance is an investor-based economic development partnership focused on business development and growth, retaining and attracting jobs and talent, ensuring a strong urban core with our Hartford Chamber of Commerce, and promoting the Hartford region and all of its assets. I'm your host, Brian Boyer, Chief Marketing Officer at the Alliance. You can learn more, and as always, invest today at metrohartford.com. And I also want to point people to our COVID-19 resource site, which is updated pretty much on the hour, preparedhartford.com. All resources related to business, social, economic, it's all on there, preparedhartford.com. I also want to thank our show sponsor, Oak Hill, empowering people with disabilities. Oak Hill sets the standard, partnering with people with disabilities to provide services and solutions, promoting independence, education, health, and dignity. You can learn more at oakhillct.org. Well, we're in unprecedented times here. We're a lot of trial and error. We don't really know necessarily what to expect hour to hour, but we do know that there are a lot of financial and social and economic ramifications that are going on right now. And before we get started here, again, I just want to make sure that everybody out there is healthy and safe. You, your colleagues, your families, that's the most important thing. Stay inside, try not to go out too much, and be well. That's number one. We'll get through this together, and we'll all be stronger for it. And one of the people and organizations, companies who are helping us during this challenging time is Liberty Bank. And we have with us, we're very fortunate to have David Glidden, who is the president and CEO of Liberty, also happens to be a tremendous investor and partner with the Alliance. And David, I want to first off thank you for your investment in the Alliance, and thanks for taking the time to be with us today.
Well, thank you, Brian. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you this morning.
You know, we talked off air for a second. I'm glad that that you're well, your family's well, and your colleagues and your all the workers at Liberty and beyond. But I just want to kind of ask you, as far as there's a certain amount of anxiety these days as far as people and jobs and people losing their jobs, and how we kind of get through this financially, whether it's an individual or a business or a whole community. So if you could just kind of tell us a little bit about Liberty Bank, your background, and kind of what's your role? How has your role over the past couple weeks now changed from normal operations to now COVID-19?
Yeah, well, thanks, Brian, for that. And certainly it has changed a lot, I think, with everybody else in our communities. And I echo your warnings and best wishes to all the listeners and everybody out here in our communities to stay safe, you know, follow the CDC guidelines. And we here at Liberty Bank also truly believe we will get through this, but it is certainly challenging and uncharted waters that we all find ourselves in. Liberty is the oldest bank in Connecticut. We were established in 1825, so we've been here through thick and thin and a lot of good times and bad times, but I think this one is a new one for all of us with the uncertainty. What is a $6 billion mutual bank? We're financially very strong, and I think the industry as a whole is very strong. So it's very different than kind of coming into what we faced in the last 2008 and 2009 crisis. I'd paid tributes to my competitors and colleagues in the industry. I think all the banks are stepping up and doing the right things for their employees and customers and communities, and using the financial strength of the industry to be proactive and helping everybody get through this difficult time, recognizing what a vital role banks play. So, we started when this really first hit, and kind of reaching out to our consumer, commercial, small business customers, and really offering payment deferments, payment assistance, waiving payments, both on the consumer mortgage side as well as on the commercial side, to help them provide relief during these difficult cash flow strain times with so many businesses being shut down.
It feels like the role of financial institutions is now changing or evolving, however, whatever the best word is. But it seems like there's almost a different role now. I mean, there's, as I said, there's so many financial ramifications right now on so many different levels that's really impacting, society as a whole. What's, you know, kind of how is your role as a leader of a well-known bank? How has it kind of evolved? And what, you know, what can you say to customers and even not even just customers, but others who are in our communities that are feeling this anxiety and feeling this pinch right now? What relief? You're talking about a few ideas for relief, but what can we do to kind of ease some of that anxiety for people?
Yeah, you know, Brian, I think you make a great point, and I think the industry is pivoting. Having been in banking most of my career, we're not used to being the most popular folks that are out there or institutions, but obviously we play a very essential role in our economies. And I think, you know, what we're doing is really kind of pivoting and saying, look, this is unprecedented times. This is time to kind of leave the business as usual and really be more proactive and flexible with the customers and our communities and recognize the support that is needed. This is nobody's fault, right? No consumer, no business person, nobody brought this on through bad decisions or running their business the wrong way or any of that. So I think the industry needs to. I know we at Liberty, you know, have a saying, and we're really leveraging it now. You know, we've been here for 195 years, and Liberty's here for you, and that's for our customers, communities, and colleagues. So again, you know, participating in all these payment relief programs that we can and that we continue to do. We have previously offered, $5,000 unsecured personal loans to existing Liberty customers to get them through a period until a lot of the federally funded CARES Act programs and other relief things come out. We're obviously doing payment deferrals, as I mentioned earlier, and we're preferred SBA and big SBA lender. We'll play a large role in the payroll protection program that's rolling out to help support small businesses. So I think we're all kind of looking at this. I know I am, as a leader, of saying, hey, you know, we need to continue to run our railroad and provide our customers the right level of service and customer service that we can during this time. That said, we need to kind of leave the playbook behind us and be flexible, bet on the customer, bet on the fact that, you know, most everybody out there has been impacted by this. They're good people. They want to do the right thing. They've been put their back up against the wall. And as a large bank here in Connecticut, we do have the resources and the ability to say, you know what, for the next foreseeable future of months, let's bet on the customer and give them the relief, recognizing the financial negative impact it'll have on the bank, but we can afford it.
Speaking of, you know, you talk about good people doing great things, and that's really what a lot of our small businesses represent. The small business community is really a backbone, always has been. We know our larger companies are impacted by this. Well, I'm not minimizing that, but we know that this could be potentially fatal for smaller businesses. And we do a lot of work with small businesses through our Hartford Chamber of Commerce. Can you talk a little bit about what kind of relief is available for the small business community, and how can we maybe try to avoid the small coffee shop or the restaurant or the hardware store going out of business during the next few months and hopefully coming through maybe even stronger out on the other side here? What opportunities are available for that small business owner?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. The small businesses are clearly the backbone of our economy, and that's why it's so critical that state, private industry come together and really support them. I made my bones in this business as a small business lender, and still am a small business lender at heart, and recognize what they do, but all the challenges they face in the normal good times. I think first and foremost, for all of ourselves and the listeners, to the extent that we can still be supporting these small businesses, if it is that restaurant or coffee shop, all the rest, we should, again, be careful, stay healthy, but try to support them, be it gift cards or takeout or whatever. I think every little bit helps at this thing. From a programmatic release, of what I would tell small business owners is what we're telling our existing customers: talk to your bank, pick up the phone. You know, if you're a Liberty Bank small business customer, call us. Explain your situation. Tell us what you need. We are more than willing to defer payments. We are scrambling the jets like very few times I've seen in the industry. I'm so proud of my teammates here at Liberty to get ready for this payroll protection program that I think the high volume of need is going to be potentially overwhelming. We are marshaling resources. We've reassigned 50 teammates just to get ready for this so that we can respond accordingly and process this. The SBA and the U.S. Treasury, they're still, like a lot of things, you know, kind of rolling out the final details, but we did start taking applications Friday, April 3rd, and the volume is very high, but we've reallocated resources to quickly as possible be that conduit on this program to get the money and get it back into the accounts of our small business owners.
Appreciate that support that you're giving. As I said, it's such an integral part of the business community. And the other thing I want to ask you, as we start to wind down with your section here, you've been just a tremendous resource. But I want to ask you, David, as far as once this pandemic subsides, we don't know when that will be. We hear things daily, hourly. When it ends, when it subsides, it just feels like there's going to be a lot of pieces of our society that are just different, maybe indefinitely, maybe forever. Do you feel like the way you do business as a bank is going to change? Is the way you service your customers and the way you work with loans and other, you know, all the economic pieces the channels that you offer? Do you see that when this thing is over, that business will be changed and you will evolve as an organization?
Yeah, another great question, Brian, and I think we will continue to evolve as a company, as an industry. This is such an unprecedented event that it's going to leave a mark and a change on all of us. I don't see us servicing our customers any different, because I think we do a good job, and that's kind of paramount for us. But I do believe that this switch isn't going to get thrown back on as quickly as a lot of businesses need it to be. The switch hopefully will, when we get kind of past the pandemic crisis mode and we can get the economy, these businesses up and running again. But I think we, as a company, as I'm looking at things from a leadership standpoint, is we're going to have to continue to be very flexible with our customers, commercially and consumer, for the foreseeable future. So this, I think in the same sense of, there will be people in businesses that get hurt by this and have more lasting credit problems and structural problems in their business. And we, as an industry and as a bank, I'm looking at this and saying, we're going to need to be much more flexible on how we operate going forward, because these problems are not going to go away. It's getting everybody through this crisis with things like payment deferrals and this payment protection program. But then we, as a company, I know, are going to have to look at things and be very flexible for the foreseeable future, looking at our commercial and consumer borrowers and recognizing that they didn't bring this upon them. They've been good customers of Liberty Bank. We wouldn't have a business without them. We're financially strong, and we're going to use that strength to help them through it.
Well, we appreciate it again. We appreciate your partnership with the Alliance. We appreciate everything that you're doing to keep this community rolling. We know it's a resilient and persistent community, and as long as everyone can stay as healthy as possible, we'll come out stronger on the other side. David Glidden, President and CEO, Liberty Bank. Again, David, thanks so much. Anything we can do, and I also want to just, as you mentioned earlier too, all of our local banks, offices here and who have a local presence are doing tremendous work, and Liberty Bank is one of the leaders with that. So I want to thank you for your leadership and your help as well. And thanks for being with us on Pulse of the Region.
Thank you, Brian, and thanks for everything that that you are all doing. Again, thanks to, I think, the other banks in Connecticut that are, every one of them are also stepping up, and I couldn't agree with you more. We will get through this together.
Okay, a bit of a pivot now in today's show, and we've had some great subject matter experts on the show. David did a great job, and we're now lucky and thrilled to have Paula Gilberto, who is the president and CEO of the United Way of Central and Northeastern Connecticut. And Paula, I just want to thank you so much for being on the show. I know this is the kind of event that screams United Way and support. And I know you and your staff are very, very busy. But thanks so much for being with us on Pulse of the Region.
Oh, so happy to do this. Thank you. And thank you, Metro Hartford Alliance, for continuing to make all of this happen while we go through this unusual period.
It's a tough time. It's obviously a tough time from a business standpoint, from a societal standpoint, but this is really the work that United Way is doing, you know, every day. You guys you're helping out the community every single day, whether we're in this kind of pandemic or not. But can you just talk a little bit about how has the work changed for you guys? As I said, this is the nonprofit world right now is more important than it's ever been, and United Way is leading that charge. But over the past 3 weeks, life has changed as we know it for the time being. And I just want to know a little bit about how your role, your individual role, and how the role of United Way has changed in that last few weeks.
Sure. Well, the key here is that this local United Way, as local United Ways around the country, are all about community, and we are interwoven into the fabric of the community. In our case, actually, tonight we're celebrating our 95th annual meeting. So for 95 years, we've been part of this community, and we certainly have weathered many challenges and incredible times of uncertainty. But we are able to do that as an organization because of the way in which we do our business, which is to bring together the right people, the right organizations, all committed to supporting opportunity and success of children, youth, and families. Not only is today no different, but today it's even more critical. So our role as a United Way is to mobilize and bring together residents, government agencies, the private sector, the nonprofit sector, to be able to immediately confront these challenges and come up with ways to mitigate harm to individuals and allow a strong nonprofit community to continue to move forward. What we have found is that we were able to quickly, as an organization, to quickly adapt to working remotely, as have so many of our partners, the Alliance, businesses, et cetera. The other thing that we found is that this is a unique crisis for our community in that it's resulting in even more dire economic consequences for local individuals and families, many of whom were already walking a financial tightrope. So we are focusing our time and our energy with respect to community partners that are providing food and housing to individuals, that are working to ensure that folks at risk of domestic violence, sexual assault, continue to be able to access services. We know that there are many children and adults with intellectual disabilities that still need services, the elderly. So, again, our focus is on vulnerable populations, those people that are being disproportionately affected by this crisis, and making sure that we're channeling resources to them as quickly as possible.
So you just mentioned, and you can, you know, you go on the news, you can read it online or on TV or radio or whatnot, whatever your channel is for information, your resource for information. But there are so many issues that are taking place, and you just mentioned a few, that even people that have standard lives where you have a job, you have a house, and you're doing okay, this is a challenging time. So it seems like issues like homeless, domestic mm-hmm. violence, the elderly, the mental illness issues, these issues that that the United Way deals with all year, it seems like mm-hmm. it's magnified right now. So how do you, as an organization, identify and help in a time where there are not a lot of resources that are available? I mean, how do you keep that work going? Especially when it's even more severe right now.
Yeah, we have a great, incredible team of staff members who immediately began to reach out to our nonprofit partners. We also have conducted audio and visual conference calls with our partners to stay in touch with them as a group and to help them stay in touch with each other. So both in terms of following up with each and every nonprofit organization that we're affiliated with, we're following up with school superintendents and municipal leaders. all in the interest of quickly ascertaining what their needs are as organizations and what are the needs of the people that they serve. The other thing that we did concurrently, Brian, is we activated our United Way's Disaster Response and Recovery Fund. It's called Neighbors in Need. The last time we activated this fund was in the aftermath of Hurricane Maria, when we had individuals that were coming here from hurricane-affected areas, particularly Puerto Rico, to be housed with loved ones. So we had that mechanism in place to be able to immediately activate that fund, and we've just seen an incredible outpouring of support from individuals wanting to give help at this time, and also from several foundations and several corporations. And just want to acknowledge that many stood up immediately. The Community Foundation of Greater New Britain, the Farmington Bank Community Foundation, TD Bank Charitable Foundation, UPS, Santander, just among the few that immediately said, hey, let's help. With those resources, Brian, we are going to be able to immediately turn resources around to nonprofit organizations that are on the front line. And our initial focus is on food, is on helping individuals with emergency assistance, such as housing, and also recognizing the ongoing need for childcare services. A portion of the funds that we're raising through our local disaster relief fund, Neighbors in Need, are also going to a statewide network fund that Connecticut United Ways have established. It's called the Connecticut United Ways COVID-19 Response Fund. And that fund is working a bit differently. In that case, we're going to be reaching out to city and town social service directors and others to identify the residents in those communities that they know are most vulnerable and could use some direct financial resources to help them with some of their immediate bills until such time as public resources kick in. And, you know, hats off to the Aetna Foundation. They were the first to contribute with a very generous contribution of $100,000. The Travelers Foundation has contributed significantly at $150,000. Webster Bank Foundation has contributed significantly. And the Connecticut Health Foundation, we learned today, has as well. So a great opportunity here for individuals, for companies, for foundations that want to make immediate difference. Neighbors in Need, the focus is on nonprofit organizations and what they're doing in terms of emergency relief. The Connecticut United Way COVID-19 Response Fund is focused in on individuals that might not be connected to the social service community, but their towns and their cities know who they are, and they know they need that immediate monetary relief to buy groceries, to pay bills.
And Paul, yeah, there's so much great information there, and you make a great point about this community really stepping up. I mean, we step up, you know, even when things are going according to plan, and I think that you see that even more so in a time like this, which is unprecedented, and a lot of people just, we don't know what we don't know, and that seems to be taking place hour to hour. And speaking of that, I want to ask you, as far as, you know, because we don't necessarily know what the future holds, because we've never really experienced anything like this before, how do you, as an organization, keep up with the needs of this community? We don't know how long this will go on for. It will subside at some point. I don't know if the word end is the right word, but at some point we'll get back to a somewhat regular life. But in the meantime, from the United Way standpoint, from a resource standpoint, how do you keep up with every day changing? How do you pivot? How does your team keep up with the changing needs going on every single day for this community?
Well, two things, Brian. One is staying in touch with very generous donors, individuals, as well as those companies, those workplaces that have been gracious enough to host United Way giving campaigns, and to encourage employees and to invite employees, even now, most of us working at home, you know, to still give, to give to the level that you can, knowing that there are other people who have lost their jobs who are being furloughed. I think it's also about staying in touch with residents, with faith leaders, with municipal leaders and nonprofit organizations, and letting people know not only what the needs are, but how resilient they are in terms of continuing to deliver services, but recognizing that there's a cost to that. So our ability to raise the dollars, our ability to invest those dollars in quality programs, quality organizations is critical. The other piece is connecting individuals with other ways in which they can help. So if individuals go to our website, unitedwayinc.org, right on the front page, you can click on Give Help, and you'll find opportunities to volunteer virtually. So it's about sending an e-card to an elderly person who's at home, sending an e-card of thanks to a healthcare worker on the front line, doing a tape of yourself, like using your cell phone to videotape yourself, reading a children's book that we in turn can get into the hands of an educator, get into the hands of parents. So I think it's finding those ways of demonstrating that at a time where so many people feel a lack of control, let's hold on to what we can control. And what we can control are opportunities to give to those people who most need services.
Paula, you again, incredible wealth of information. And I know that you've been in the nonprofit sector for a long time. You've been with the United Way. How many years? You've been with the United Way for how many years? If you're like,
I've been with the United Way for 22 years.
So you've been a face there for a long time. And I want to kind of ask you a general question. You can relate this to the United Way as well, and I've asked a lot of our guests this question, but, you know, things are changing, and things in society, things in business, the economic development, it's all changing right now. And I have a feeling that when all is said and done and we get back to quote-unquote normal, there are going to be some things that are maybe changed permanently or at least indefinitely. Mm-hmm. How do you see, mm-hmm. if at all, how do you see the nonprofit sector operating post-COVID-19? Are there things that you see evolving, changing, going forward? Because it just seems that's inevitable.
No, I think that this is going to prompt significant innovation. I think it's also going to prompt creativity. We're going to be finding additional ways of using technology. We're going to find additional ways of communicating to parents and to children in ways that are different. So many of us are using Microsoft Teams or Zoom meetings. We're finding ways to create these virtual volunteer opportunities. So I think all of that is going to foster great opportunities and really, in a sense, kind of forcing us to think differently about the way in which we've traditionally done business. On the other hand, I think it's also going to force, quite honestly, greater coordination. What are the ways in which we can partner and do that to make sure that if there are limited resources, that we're using them wisely? And I just want to note that this is a great opportunity for those of us in philanthropy to work closely together. And I want to acknowledge the leadership of the Hartford Foundation for Public Giving on its COVID-19 Response and Recovery Fund and for inviting United Way to be a co-convener of the advisory group that's providing guidance. We're also working hand-in-hand with the Community Foundation of Eastern Connecticut. So again, examples where we have to find more effective and more efficient ways of working together, and we have to make great use of technology and kind of challenge ourselves to think differently.
Well, we're all starting to maybe go a little stir-crazy in our homes, Paula, so I think that if people maybe go to UnitedWayInc.org, they can maybe see some of the opportunities to engage in their community.
Absolutely. Those children, those seniors, those healthcare workers would love to get an e-card from all of us.
I'm going to jump on there, actually. That sounds good. A lot of us are pressing forward with our work, but there's definitely some free time in there. So definitely engage with the community, UnitedWayInc.org. Also engage with the Metro Hartford Alliance. We're here to serve as a resource for you and your business during this time. We're convening. We're connecting. We do that every day of the year, but it's even more vital this time of year. MetroHartford.com and PreparedHartford.com for the latest COVID-19 resource information, business, societal. It's all right there. Paula, you're, as always, you're fantastic. Good health to you, your staff, your friends, your family, and thanks for being with us on Pulse.
Thank you, Brian, and thank you to the Metro Hartford Alliance.
I also want to thank again Oak Hill, our show sponsor, and of course, thanks to all of you listening to Pulse of the Region, brought to you by the Metro Hartford Alliance, and be safe and be well. Thank you.